Well, for a number of weeks, as we've been studying this parable, seeing these different sorts of soil that the Lord Jesus describes, the wayside soil, the hard heart, rocky soil, the shallow heart, thorny ground, the crowded heart, where the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, other things enter in and choke the seed. But particularly tonight, we're concentrating on good ground, the description of a real believer, the true Christian, where Jesus says in Mark 4, verse 8, other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And that's an emphasis on the reliable, solid evidence that you have received the word of God in a saving way. It's the solid evidence that you're a Christian, that that word of God bears fruit in a person's life. Here's Bishop J.C. Ryle describing what we're looking at tonight. He says, the last caution contained in the parable of the sower is to beware of being content with any religion which does not bear fruit in our lives. So he says fruit is so important. Our Lord tells us that the hearts of those who hear the word aright are like good ground. The seed of the gospel sinks down deeply into their wills and produces practical results in their faith and practice. They not only hear with pleasure, but they act with decision. They repent, they believe, they obey. So he's saying the fruit, they believe, they repent, they obey. That's the real evidence of saving faith. It shows that there's a real response to the message of the gospel as the word of God is sown in people's hearts. Now the fruit which is evident in the life of a Christian is never just inward character without outward conduct. It is inward character, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also outward conduct, the fruit of the Spirit, obedience to Jesus. It's not outward conduct without the fruit, without the fruit has a root in inward character. The two things are joined. So the fruit which is produced by the seed of the word of God falling on good ground is a work of God in the heart that produces outward evidence in life. And tonight we're going to think, first of all, that in that fruit that's produced, there are degrees of fruit bearing. Jesus says, the fruit that was produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And in Mark 4:20, Jesus explains the parable. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So among those who hear the word of God and respond to it, says Jesus, there is a difference in degree. There's a range of fruit bearing. Now notice, it's a matter of degree, not of kind. From some 60, from some 100. But in every case, there is fruit. It's not thorns. It's not stubble. In every case, though there's degrees, 30, 60, 100, but in every case, there's real fruit. And that's the point that Jesus is emphasizing. Yes, there are degrees of fruit bearing, but the difference is not a difference of kind. Every seed that fell into good ground and produced fruit is a picture of the true believer. Now that's absolutely vital. But the Lord Jesus is clearly teaching that here tonight in a congregation of God's people, there will be degrees of fruit bearing. So we should expect, according to this parable, among true believers, good ground hearers, there will be fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. All Christians will be truly believing, and all Christians will be truly penitent. But some will have a deeper spirit of repentance than others. Some will have stronger faith than others. But repentance and faith will be there, wherever the word of God has done a saving work. But the depth, the extent, the fruitfulness of that work will vary from one Christian to another. One Christian will have a more sensitive conscience than another. A Christian might have more intense longings after holiness and the Lord Jesus Christ than another. A Christian might have a less stubborn will than another. But in every case, there will be fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. There will be some evidence in the life that God's word has had an effect. And the Bible is very clear on that. Hebrews 12, 14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But for some, the fruit develops more quickly, more joyfully, more extensively than others. In all, there'll be a basic obedience as a pattern of life, but some will make quicker and greater strides in obedience and holiness than others. Some will more quickly, more joyfully show evidence of Christ-likeness and this universal obedience to the Saviour than others. So in the light of that principle of degrees of fruit-bearing, we're not surprised that in the Bible, we find descriptions of those who are young believers, babes in Christ. Others were described as young believers, young men and women. Others were described as mature believers, fully grown adults in the faith. Now, they all have spiritual life. The baby is spiritual life. The young Christian is spiritual life. The mature Christian is spiritual life. But there are varying degrees of development. And we see that in the Bible. We see it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Joshua and Caleb are marked out in the Old Testament as those who wholly followed the Lord. Epaphroditus, or Epaphroditus, some say, is someone who's marked out by his life in the New Testament. He did not even regard his own life as he served the Lord Jesus. So that principle is evident in every congregation of believers. There are degrees of fruit-bearing among those who savingly receive the word of God. But I want to add now a word of caution, because that is light years away from a distorted teaching which says that there are real Christians who bear no fruit at all in their lives. Now, why do I caution and mention this? Well, I mention it because there is about a teaching which is embraced by many people that there are some Christians who are fruitful, but that there are other Christians, they are Christians, but they're totally unfruitful, they're totally barren. You have fruit-bearing Christians and you have barren Christians, but they're all Christians. Some Christians who are spiritually minded, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Other Christians, though, whose lives don't change, they remain totally carnal. Their inward character is evidenced by envy and lust and pride and rancor and bitterness. Their outward life is marked by an attachment to this world. They forget about God all through the week. Sometimes they forget about him on the Lord's Day as well. Oh, but they have trusted in Jesus. But they're barren, fruitless Christians. You'll hear it described sometimes that these people are carnal Christians. There are spiritual Christians who are bearing fruit, who've received the word of God and is producing fruit in their lives. Christians who take holiness and Christ-likeness and the Ten Commandments seriously. But these carnal Christians, they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. They're going to heaven. They prayed a certain prayer once upon a time, but their lives are fruitless, barren. There's no evidence of being a Christian now. Now that false teaching, which is a distortion of the Bible and is fake, you see immediately the danger behind it. The danger is this idea that there are unfruitful Christians. It's saying there are fruitful Christians and unfruitful Christians. Now what does Jesus say in the parable? He says the seed that fell on good ground, it yielded a crop. It produced. It increased. Yes, there was a difference in degree, but in every case there was fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So this idea that you could be a Christian, and yet there's no evidence of it in your heart or life at all, That's a distortion of the Bible's teaching that will cause people to be lost eternally. No, the Bible is saying all who receive the word of God and know God's salvation bear fruit. Inwardly, repentance and faith. Outwardly, the fruit of the Spirit, obedience to Christ. And they keep bearing fruit, as Luke puts it, Luke 8:15. They bear fruit with patience. There's a difference of degree, but not of kind. So I want to just introduce that word of warning. It's likely that sometime or another you will come across books, or you'll hear on the TV, especially with the internet these days. Sometimes there are conferences that promote this idea that you can be a real Christian, but there's no fruit in your life. It's the carnal Christian. Now that's a soul-destroying lie, Jesus said. Jesus said it's the fruit or the fire. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So do I think this is important? I think it is really important. If you've picked up somehow the idea that you're a Christian, but there's no evidence of it in your life, then you've picked up a distortion. And that lie will cause you to be lost. In every Christian, Jesus says, in every case in the good ground, there is fruit, degrees, 30, 60, 100 fold, but no barren Christian. No Christian with no fruit at all. No. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Every Christian, every real Christian, bears fruit. So the second thing we want to look at then is the reason. If there are degrees of fruit-bearing, what's the reason for it? Why is it that there are degrees of fruit-bearing? And I'm sure that's a question that must arise in every mind if we're thinking about what Jesus said. Why is it that the seed of the word of God falling on the good ground, where the work of the Holy Spirit is evident, why are there varying degrees of fruitfulness? Surely God's power is the same. The gospel is the same. God's purpose is the same. That every Christian should be conformed to the image of his Son. So why 30, 60, 100 fold? And that question takes us to the mysterious place where two streams come together. The stream of God's sovereignty, and it mixes with another stream, the stream of human responsibility. And at this point, those two streams come together. Let's take into account, first of all, this stream of God's sovereignty, God's sovereign purposes. Ephesians 2 verse 10. The Bible says, we are his workmanship, if you're a Christian, in Christ. God has worked in your heart. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the sovereign activity of God, says the Apostle Paul. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's a work of God in your heart. When the Apostle Paul was struggling with a thorn in the flesh, the Lord said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So when Paul thought about his work as a gospel preacher, when he thought about his character and his fruitfulness, he said, what I am as a preacher, what I am as a man, the degree of all my fruitfulness, it's all down to God's grace. So from that perspective, 30, 60, 100 fold, you have this stream of the mystery of God's sovereign purpose and will. And we believe that tonight. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight, said the Lord Jesus. And from a pastoral standpoint, on many occasions, this is the consolation of a preacher. Why is it, under the same sermon, that some people come to faith and others remain stubbornly in unbelief? It's the same message. Why do some people show temporary bursts of enthusiasm and then disappear? why do some people appear to respond to the word of God and then other things come into their life and just choke that word out? Why do some people produce fruit 30-fold, while others only 60-fold, while others only 100-fold? Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. There is a mysterious element here, God's sovereignty. So that's one stream. But we must be careful, because that stream of God's sovereignty in the Bible is always mixed with another stream, the stream of human responsibility. The other year, with Wendy, I was able to visit Brazil and go up the Amazon for a certain part of the River Amazon. And the amazing thing about the River Amazon is the water clearly shows you where the stream of the water from the river mixes with the stream that's coming in from the sea. The river water is one colour, the sea water is another colour. And for miles upon miles, those two streams are evident together as you go up the river. And there's a famous place where the mixing of the waters takes place, and you can go out in a boat and see. Here's brownish water, the water of the Amazon. Here's clear water, the seawater from the sea that's come in off the sea. And now the waters begin to mix together. Now, we must always do that with the Bible. There is the stream of God's sovereignty. But there is another stream. The stream that the Bible teaches equally clearly of human responsibility. So spiritual cultivation, endeavor, activity. That's involved in this too. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 to 11. Peter writes, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean for me to be fruitful, not barren, before the Lord Jesus? Be diligent, says Peter. You work at this. Work at adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, and so on. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. There's that word again. Work hard at it. To make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So to be fruitful, I just sit back and say, Lord, you'll do all the work in my heart. Thank you very much. No, says Peter, you be diligent. You work at this. You put every effort into being fruitful, not being a barren Christian. So you see that emphasis. You must cultivate, says Peter. You must water. You must pull out weeds. You must develop Christian character and grace. Be diligent to make sure those things grow in your life. And from the human standpoint, that makes a big difference between 30, 60, and 100-fold. When you get your priorities right, when you exercise spiritual discipline, when you work at cultivating graces which God has planted in you by the Holy Spirit, then you become more fruitful. So God's sovereignty is never an excuse to say, I can put my feet up there. No, God's sovereignty causes us to be even more diligent. So for some, it's only 30-fold, because there's been no weeding this last week. For some, it's because the plant's not been cared for. Other things have squeezed out cultivation. So for some it's 30-fold, when it could have been 60 or 100-fold. Listen to Philippians 1, describing this same principle. God's sovereignty does not mean just put your feet up and wait for God to do it. Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11. And this I pray, Paul writes to the Philippians, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So, the rule of our response to the word of God is not to say this mysterious secret will of God's sovereignty. No. What does the Bible say? What's the divine precept for how the Christian is to be fruitful? What does the Bible say? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Pray without ceasing. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So the stream of God's sovereignty mixes with the stream of human responsibility. And as you go through the New Testament then, there is one exhortation after another prodding you on to more fruitfulness. Grow, says the New Testament. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. In fact, I would be as bold to say that if a person is content to just sit back, stagnate, no desire to grow in the Christian life, that may be a dangerous warning of a thorny ground hearer who is letting other things crowd out the word of God. That might end up being a fruitless stalk, no fruit at all. One of the results of a saving response to the word of God is a hunger and thirsting after righteousness. Now there is a righteousness that is imputed, that is reckoned, that is put to our account. It's put to your account on the basis of the perfect life and obedience of Jesus Christ unto death. But that righteousness which is imputed and put to your account, whereby you're declared righteous before a holy God, results in fruit in a person's life, a righteousness which is wrought in you by the power of the Holy Spirit as you live in the light of God's word. So if you have grace, you long for more grace. If you say, I'm content as I am, I'm just going to coast along, put my feet up, I don't have to worry about growing as a Christian at all, that may be a dangerous indication, no grace at all. So there are degrees of fruit bearing. The reason there are degrees of fruit bearing, these two streams coming together, God's sovereign work in you. So if there is any development in your life, you say all the glory is God's. But that is not a reason to just sit back and do nothing. Be diligent. Pray without ceasing. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled. Seek God. Add to your faith knowledge, to knowledge virtue, to virtue self-control. Be diligent. As a Christian, to grow, you pray, you cry to God, Lord, make me more fruitful. There are degrees of fruit bearing. There are reasons why there are degrees of fruit bearing. Thirdly, ways to increase in degrees of fruit bearing. How are you going to grow as a Christian? Well, if the seed is the word of God, I smiled this morning because I talked about different sorts of fruit and the children gave a great answer. I said, barley crop comes from barley seed. So wheat, what do you get? A wheat crop. So the Bible, what fruit do you get? Bible, said the children. So you're not going to be fruitful unless you get involved with and study and read and ask God by the Holy Spirit to give you greater and greater understanding of his word, the Bible. If the seed is the word of God, then the Lord must help us to grow in his word. Have you read through the Bible? Reading the Bible together, one of the reasons in the church here why we're engaged in that exercise is because there are Christians who've been Christians for years who have never ever read through the Bible. So he's saying the Bible is so important, every Christian needs to read through the Bible. So let's do it together. Come along on a Thursday night to the Bible study. Come along and read the Bible together. Are you making any progress in subduing some area of stubborn sin in your life? For all of us, there are besetting sins, stubborn sins. Envy, jealousy, pride, lust, whatever it is. Well, the grace that's brought you so far is the grace that will enable you now to make progress. You don't put your feet up. Wage war against that sin. Ask God by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the cross of his Son that he'll see in your life sin being put to death. There was a Puritan preacher called John Owen who said, kill a sin every day. Kill a sin every day, he said. See, that's diligent, that's effort, that's hard work. You pray to God for greater empowerings and outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I won't grieve the Spirit, not quench the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. Confessing Christ before others. Bold witness. If you've never taken the step of publicly identifying with Jesus Christ in baptism, or formally becoming a member of the church. There are steps, you see, in growth. If you're bearing fruit 30-fold, why not 60-fold? If 60-fold, why not 100-fold? Someone asked me, what is 100-fold like in this world? What's it mean to produce fruit to 100-fold? Because it's not glory, it's not heaven. And I think 100-fold is best expressed in the prayer of Robert Murray McShane, where he said, Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be this side of heaven. That's 100-fold. Make me as holy as a pardoned, a saved sinner can be this side of heaven. And you say, it's all down to God's grace. Left to myself, I would be the least fruitful Christian on planet Earth. So if there's any growth, it's because of God's grace at work. The Holy Spirit at work, enabling you to love what you once hated. Enabling you to hate what you once loved. Helping you to pursue and be diligent in seeking God and for things that one time were of no interest to you at all. Left to yourself, things that would be totally indifferent to them. But the fact of degrees of fruitfulness in this parable doesn't lead just to sitting back, doesn't lead to passivity, doesn't lead to fatalism. Oh, there's nothing I can do about it. Just the opposite is true. You give yourself to being as fruitful as God can make you in this life. Here's Robert Murray McShane's prayer again. Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be this side of heaven. I'm saying, is that your desire tonight? To be as holy, to be as Christ-like, to be as fruitful as a pardoned sinner can be this side of heaven. That's 100-fold. So in this parable, there are exhortations where the heart is hard, like the wayside soil, where it's shallow, bursts of enthusiasm, but then a withering away. A thorny soil, crowded heart. To receive the message of Jesus Christ coming into this world, to live the life you should have lived but have not, and to die the death you deserve to die but dare not. If that great message has really taken root in your heart, then it will cause you to mourn over sin, to turn from all hopes that you can trust and fix yourself up, that you make yourself acceptable to God by your own efforts. You give up every hope of saving yourself. You throw yourself in a whole-souled act of faith on Jesus Christ as he's fully and freely offered to you in the gospel. And having done that, That life of self-centeredness, independence of God, indifference to the law of God, hostility to the claims of Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, deliver me from any semblance of a hard heart, a shallow heart, a crowded heart. Make my heart fruitful. As holy as a saved sinner can be. And that God then opens your heart to receive the message of his word as well-ploughed soil where the root systems of thorns have been pulled up and taken out by true repentance. See, repentance isn't just at the beginning of the Christian life, is it? We all know that weeds in our gardens, they spring up all the time. You don't move into a new house and say, I'm going to weed the garden now, and that's it for the next 10 years. You do that, the weeds will grow pretty quickly. You've got to keep at it. And it's true for the Christian. That's why John Owen says, kill the sin every day. Lord, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Well, it'll involve repentance day by day. Some of you know the book, The Joy of the Repentant Life. The heart that receives God's word enfolds its message, responds in repentance and faith. And that you trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the heart of the gospel. All these blessings that we've been thinking about tonight, they're all in Christ, for those who are in Christ. If you're in Christ, Lord, you say, help me to bring forth fruit with patience, with endurance, and to righteousness. And that more and more the fruit of the Spirit and a holy obedience to Christ and Christ-likeness, that transformation, will keep on going. This is not a one-off thing. It's a constant, ongoing growth, holiness, right through till transplant time takes place. And God takes his plants here on earth, which haven't reached perfection, but as holy as a saved sinner can be, but there is a place where there's no sin and no devil. And no death, no cares and distractions in Christ all in all. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause for each believer here tonight to cry out to you, Lord, more fruit. Much fruit. More like Christ. More strides, more advance in holiness. Forgive us, Lord, if we are tempted to just to coast along, settle back into a routine where there's no killing of sin, no advances in Christ-likeness and holiness. Oh Lord, spur us by filling us with the Holy Spirit that we have greater longings and desires and aspirations after our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as this message of the gospel is proclaimed, we pray too for good soil receiving hearts, where your word will be received and bring forth fruit. Oh Lord, we long to see that from the youngest right through to the oldest person we have contact with. Lord, by the work of your Spirit, transform the heart of stone. Make it a heart of flesh that receives your word and brings forth fruit with endurance and to everlasting life. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn. I wonder if you can just check the setting again for me, and in case it's gone up to D instead of C. Just push it down to C. D is a bit high, I think. Now is eternal life, if risen with Christ we stand. And we're going to sing it to a tune, Darwell's 148th, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll sing this together.
Thank you.
Lord, we praise you for Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and King, as we have thought of fruitfulness in our lives, being more like him. We thank you, Lord, that the perfect obedience of Christ is ours by faith, put to our account the righteousness of Christ, and his blood shed to cleanse us from sin. The table before us tonight reminds us of the amazing love of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. In response to such love, we say, love so amazing, so divine, demands our lives, our souls, our all. Help us, Lord, in that wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, to live for him. And in the means of grace now, even as we come around the table together, Lord, strengthen and increase our faith and our longings after Jesus Christ, we pray, as we feed on him by faith. Grant us this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.